Lesson for this second Sunday of Advent is the third chapter of Luke, beginning with the first verse. It's found on page 60 in your pew Bible. So listen with me to the Word of God. In the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. By and large, the people who lived in Palestine in the first century were just regular folk. They lived in villages and in towns, some in a big city. They had families and neighbors and friends. They got up in the morning and they did the work of the day, pausing regularly for meals. And when it was dark and their tasks were done, they went to bed and slept the night. Of course, the details of our lives today are very different from the lives of people in that time. But what it means, basically, to live a human life remains in many ways constant, even as the centuries pass. In those days, Tiberius was the Roman emperor, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee. So, then as now, people didn't like to pay taxes, and everyone had a strong opinion about the government. In those days, the spiritually minded folks attended synagogue services. They studied their Torah. They celebrated religious holidays. And other people, well, they stayed at home, or they just went through the motions. Religion in that day was divided into what we would now call denominations. There were the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests and the Essenes and some others. And the leaders of those denominations argued over the fine points of religious doctrine and belief. But for most folks, life went on. Month after month, season after season, babies were born and old folks died. And life was reasonably stable and predictable. And then, as happened repeatedly throughout Jewish history, a strange, radical man showed up, walking through the villages, preaching in the towns, with a revolutionary message that challenged the people's stability and their complacency. He was a prophet. In the tradition of Isaiah, Amos, Hosea, and his name was John. John had been born into a normal priestly family. His dad was Zechariah, his mom was Elizabeth. But instead of growing up to become a normal person, perhaps following in the family traditions, John rejected the life and the lifestyle of his people. And John even had the audacity to tell them that they needed to change, to repent, and to symbolize their desire to clean up their act by taking a ritual bath in the Jordan River. So, how do you suppose all these normal people reacted to John the Baptist? They were going about their business, not causing any particular trouble, feeling okay about themselves. And now here's this guy, proclaiming at the top of his lungs that they have it wrong. Quite profoundly wrong, in fact, wrong in the eyes of God. Surely his criticism of their normal, complacent, predictable life wouldn't have been an easy message for those folks to hear and accept. I know what happens when someone criticizes me. I don't like it. I get defensive, sometimes even angry. And of course, because I'm a psychotherapist, I can diagnose what's wrong with that person. Well, that kind of reaction, without the psychotherapist part, would have been the normal, everyday reaction to John the Baptist. But there were some people who listened with more open minds and hearts to what John was saying to them. And they found themselves strangely drawn to this man. And what he said about them seemed like truth that they needed to hear. Yes, his words challenged their complacency, but because he did that, they looked inward. And looking inward, they found a desire, they found a longing, they found a yearning to change, to repent, to clean up their act. And so when John invited them into the water, they went. Now, the story does not tell us what was in the minds and hearts of those men and women as they walked into the water. We don't know what particularly they wanted to repent of or change. And we have no idea what that experience meant to them in the days and weeks and years that followed. But the prophecy of John the Baptist is now remembered as a truly cherished part of the story of the beginnings of the ministry of Jesus. Because Jesus went to the river and was baptized by John. And at the very end of his time here on earth among us, he told his disciples to continue that work of preaching repentance and baptizing. And so it's very appropriate that the lesson for this second Sunday of Advent is about John the Baptist. This story invites us, as we prepare for celebration of the birth of Jesus, to look inward, to find truth, and to repent. Now, I know that this sermon illustrates completely what people mean when they say, "You are preaching to the choir." I'm really preaching to the choir. They're right out here in front of me this morning. But the rest of us who are not in the choir, our presence here today is a result of some decision we made, perhaps a long time ago, to turn away from evil and sin in our lives and to follow Jesus. But the fact that we're all sort of in the choir doesn't mean that you and I have no need to hear the voice of John the Baptist. It's very easy for us to become complacent with ourselves, to become complacent with our lives, to somehow get used to it if we make unfortunate choices. We can easily fail to regret what is regrettable in our lives and in our character. And so it is a valuable and important moment when we can hear the voice of John the Baptist telling us that we too have it wrong, provoking us with his words to look inward and to admit the truth and to repent. But who is it that speaks to us with the voice of John the Baptist? In our day, a person dressed in abnormal clothing who stands on the street corner proclaiming his message at the top of his lungs, that person probably really is mentally ill. At least, I certainly don't listen to such sidewalk preachers when I hear them. And so to hear the voice of John the Baptist in our day, we almost have to want to hear it. We have to be listening intentionally out of a desire to know the truth. We have to want our stability shaken up. We have to choose to have our complacency challenged. Otherwise, what we do and who we are is likely to just go on from season to season. And so this season of Advent, and hearing this lesson about John the Baptist and remembering his preaching in that day, provides us with an opportunity to listen with new ears and welcome and even appreciate people who speak to us with challenging, even critical words. In a couple weeks, I'm scheduled to have my annual physical. I'll go to see my doctor. And even though I am blessed with slender person genes, thank you to my mother, my weight has been gradually going up for the last several years. The doctor's record shows that to be true. And I don't exercise as much as I know I should. At my stage in life, the aging process means that my muscles and my bones will be growing weaker if I don't lift weights and work up a sweat regularly. So if my doctor is doing his job, he will tell me, "Greg, you need to lose the extra pounds and get to the gym." And that's the voice of John the Baptist for me, prophesying the truth of what will very likely happen if I just keep on doing what I'm doing, challenging me to repent. Sometimes the people closest to us are the ones who speak John the Baptist-style truth to us. Boy, when that happens, it is really hard not to respond with a knee-jerk defensive reaction. But the people who live with us every day, they are the experts on who we are and how we live. So if a spouse or a parent, even a child, tells you that they are not happy with something we have done, we can accept that as important prophetic feedback. You know, almost every teenager, you guys can confirm this, finds genuine delight when they catch a grown-up making a mistake. I no longer have a teenager in my family since Christina has now turned 20, but I figure for at least 18 years of my life, I have endured the voice of John the Baptist coming out of the mouth of a teenage son or daughter. But now, looking back, I should have more often accepted the usefulness, the validity of their opinions. I should have heard what they were saying as loving feedback and repented as a dad. And even though Christina is 20, I can still do that. Sometimes it's a boss or a coworker or a customer who speaks the truth to us about our professional or work performance. My supervisor at the Samaritan Counseling Center is a wonderful psychologist who I think generally appreciates my work. But every so often, she expresses concern about what she kindly calls a novel approach to treatment. And she asks me quite firmly to talk with her before I do something like that again. In those moments, her voice is the voice of John the Baptist inviting me to repent. There are people in public who speak in settings in the media who challenge our complacency and call us to repent the elements of our culture and of our lifestyle that, at least in their view, needs to be corrected. These people are typically controversial, and it is often only from the perspective of history that the importance of their views can be affirmed. Most Americans right now, I suspect, would affirm the value and the importance of the prophetic speeches of Martin Luther King. But at the time, there were people, many people, who found his views very disturbing and who refused to accept the truth that he spoke. Regardless of our political views, there are voices in the media that challenge our complacency. Remembering John the Baptist in this season of Advent invites us to listen to them and to perhaps hear new truths about issues that affect our lives, our country, our planet. And the last voice of John the Baptist that I want to mention may be the most important, and that's the inner voice of conscience. Sometimes that's the only voice that can speak the truth to us. If nobody knows what we're doing, if we think we're getting away with it, if it seems minor to other people, but we know it's not, if what is being transgressed is our own character or the foundational values on which we wish to build our lives, then that nagging twinge of conscience, that inner voice of guilt, that capacity to criticize ourselves may be our only chance to hear the John the Baptist voice and repent. Unfortunately, we have all learned well how to use denial and rationalization to quiet that uncomfortable inner voice of conscience. So you must be thinking that it sounds like I'm encouraging all of you, as I'm encouraging myself, to invite, to welcome critical prophetic feedback. That's true. Because as difficult and dreary as that may sound, repentance and cleaning up our act is the gateway to salvation and abundant living. The process of confronting ourselves, making necessary changes, yes, that is difficult. But it is by doing that that we can achieve victory over the challenges of life. It's by doing that that we can enjoy the benefits of a life that is truly fulfilling and meaningful. When we do hear that voice of John the Baptist, and I mean really hear it, when we look inward, the truth that is being spoken to us will in some ways, we know, be very good for us to hear. And we have the chance to respond to that truth in a positive and growthful way, to say yes, and to walk into the water, and come out clean, come out renewed. So today, and in the season of Advent, I invite you to seek out your own personal John the Baptist. Go to him, find him wherever he is preaching. And if what you hear leads you to regret what is regrettable in your life, then repent and change your ways and give thanks and walk into the water. For it is there that you can find new life. New life which will cleanse your soul to make you ready to welcome the birth of our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.